It's Thursday, the 30th of April, day 40. Many years ago, in 1995 to be precise, Eli Noam, a professor of finance and economics at the Columbia Business School, published a remarkable article in the journal Science. Its title was Electronics and the Dim Future of the University, and it's one of the most perceptive articles about the nature, purpose, and future of higher education written in the last half century. Which, of course, is why most of the university sector ignored it. Noam's argument was that while the new communications technologies were likely to strengthen research, they would also weaken the traditional major institutions of learning, the universities. Instead of prospering with the new tools, many of the traditional functions of universities would be superseded, their financial base eroded, their technology replaced, and their role in intellectual inquiry reduced. This, he concluded, was not a cheerful scenario for higher education. I remember vividly the moment when I first came on the article and how struck I was by it. But in a way, that was kind of predictable. After all, I was an academic in Britain's Open University, an institution that had been founded to develop innovative ways of teaching and, more importantly, supporting the learning of students at a distance. Even then, the OU was already a world leader in exploring the use of digital technologies at scale for teaching and learning. And in that sense, we were radically different from other higher education providers, all of which were devoted to the traditional ways of teaching kids who were physically present on campus. Our students were older. They were studying part-time, juggling the conflicting demands of work, family, and study, and they were geographically dispersed. So we had to use all the communication technologies available just to fulfil our mission. Doing things the traditional way just wasn't an option. But outside the OU, the traditional universities continued broadly to rely on the modus operandi that had obtained for 800 years, gathering students expensively together on campuses, dispensing knowledge via lectures and seminars, providing central facilities like libraries and laboratories, holding examinations in halls, and awarding degrees in the time-honoured manner, complete with mortarboards rented for a day. Two things always used to amaze me about this. Firstly, that they were able to do this for 25 years after Eli Noam's article was published. And secondly, that they expanded and thrived in that time while ignoring the way the world's information ecosystem had been transformed. Watching this, it was clear to me at least that we were living through a higher education bubble, especially in the US, where what was going on, like the peace of God in the Bible, passeth all understanding. The only questions in my mind anyway were, when will this bubble burst, and what will be the sharp object that punctures it? Well, now we know. It's a microbe less than a micron in diameter. Suddenly, institutions that had loftily disdained the idea of teaching online, and had often also disparaged the idea of MOOCs, that's massive online courses, suddenly, they're frantically trying to stitch together methods of teaching dispersed to students online. Much of what's going on is, to be charitable, amateurish, for the very good reason that most traditional academics are amateurs at this game. Given time and resources, they are smart enough to get the hang of it and even master these new media. But in the panic of the pandemic, they have neither time nor resources, and they're just doing the best that they can. As this goes on, though, the hard logic of Eli Noam's path-breaking paper will become inescapable. If it turns out that much of the teaching can actually be done online, with innovative ancillary support systems like those pioneered by the Open University, say, then what exactly is the rationale for assembling students in one place at great expense to them, their parents, and the state? There may be a good reason for it, other than providing an agreeable ambience for binge drinking, sex, and building relationships, as well as acquiring some credentials. It may indeed be the case that some subjects can only be taught face-to-face, and it's undoubtedly true that laboratories and workshops are indispensable for some fields. But universities will have to develop better arguments for their current unsustainable, expensive operations than an assertion that it's just the way things have always been done. And when that penny has finally dropped, wouldn't it be nice if one of them gave Eli Noam an honorary degree, complete with a proper mortar board?